If we posit that contingency has become a deliberate pattern and process of development, as Gerald just has, it means that some of the most advanced and most powerful actors have left the cybernetic paradigm behind. This points to a far-reaching shift in the structure of social dynamics, since cybernetics has provided the fundamental set of assumptions and approaches for techno-scientific innovation and management over the last 70 years, as we heard today numerous times. Cybernetics, as I understand it here, is an engineering-oriented theory that specializes in managing complex, non-deterministic processes. In order to achieve this goal, it introduced three key changes of perspective. First, it recognized that complex systems are often materially heterogeneous, comprising people, machines, biological agents, natural as well as artificial objects. Despite this heterogeneity, all these elements are tied together in a systemic relationship. They depend on and shape one another. The system as a whole exhibits properties that cannot be reduced to any of its components. Contrary to mechanical machines, such systems are more than the sum of their parts. This change in perspective made it possible to organize processes that were much more complex and much larger than before. Think of the difference between a biology that focuses on a particular animal versus one that focuses on a particular ecosystem. The second shift concerned information. The exchange of information was conceptualized as the central mechanism through which all these heterogeneous entities in complex systems coordinated themselves through endless feedback loops. This view was predicated on a new definition of information that severed its traditional connection to meaning in a human sense. Rather, information became a mere means of coordination, nothing but a signal, a blip in a stream. As such, it could not only be measured how well signals traveled over cables and wires or how fast it could be processed, but anything could be said to communicate: machines, people, biological entities. All that was necessary was some capacity to sense, process, and signal. If information is mere signaling for mutual coordination, the materiality of the entity played no role anymore, as long as the sensing, processing, and signaling capacity was maintained. Driven both by an engineering and later also by an economic sense of efficiency, more and more components in these large socio-technical systems were moved over to the most efficient processor of meaningless information, that is, computers. The third innovation of cybernetics was the ability to predict and manage non-deterministic systems. On a logical level, this is a paradox, because non-deterministic systems are, well, non-determinant. They are open in terms of their development, thus future states cannot be predicted with absolute certainty. This logical paradox, or to this logical paradox of how to predict a non-predictable system, cybernetics offered an engineering solution. By abstracting from the single case to a group of cases, the larger the better, as Eli Yash pointed out, it was possible to replace uncertainty with probability and achieve practical manageability. If certainty means a prediction of the exact spot where a future event will occur within the space of possible events, then probability reduces the space of probable events to a much smaller space where it is most likely to occur. This reduction in uncertainty allows to allocate scarce resources to unknown events and thus act speculatively towards the future. Let me explain this through the canonical example of Norbert Wiener's unrealized anti-aircraft gun. The warplane piloted by a human is the prototypical cybernetic system, half man, half machine. Its exact course cannot be predicted because the pilot introduces a certain degree of freedom into the system. But since the projectile takes a certain time to travel from the gun to the plane, the gunner needs to predict the plane's course in order to know where to aim. For the gunner, there are two important constraints that make shooting a scarce resource. First, the price or availability of the grenades, and second, the number of grenades he can shoot while the warplane is within his range. The smaller the number of shots the gunner has, the higher the known probability of the next move of the pilot slash plane needs to be for the system to work, that is, to shoot down a relevant number of planes. These three elements, heterogeneous complex systems, information as signaling, and probability as the basis of prediction, basis for predictions, belong together. In most socio-technical systems, resources are scarce, intervention costs time and money. Thus, calculating probabilities is a useful way to allocate resources and keep the logical paradox at bay. But there are downsides to this. Calculating probability can also be expensive and slow, and not all probabilities can be calculated. So what if you could get rid of the need to calculate probabilities? Let's engage in a thought experiment. What would happen to the problem faced by the anti-aircraft gunner if resource constraints were lifted? In his new world, he has a near infinite number of grenades and can fire them at near infinite rates. Well, he could simply blanket the entire sector of the sky through which the cyborg plane human flies. In other words, he could not only save the effort of calculating probabilities, but even better, he could now deal with true randomness. No matter where the pilot would steer, the gunner would hit the plane because he would simply cover the entire problem space. In the physical world, such an approach is impossible for obvious material constraints, and for a long time, these constraints also applied to computing power and data as well. These were scarce too. However, today, this is no longer the case. As computing power grows and ever larger data sets are available, the number of problems which the entire problem space can be covered within a relevant time frame is growing too. Thus, for ever larger number of problems, possibility ceases to be a relevant principle to guide action. Rather, simply exhausting the entire problem space offers both a shortcut to action, act first, evaluate later, and a way of dealing with true randomness. Given the possibility to replace components in a cybernetic system and the ever-expanding power of computers at ever lower costs, more and more elements are to be replaced by computers, and the new logic of randomness dominates ever wider aspects of physical reality. The Amazon warehouses are but the most visible example. They are already fully computerized on a logical level. The order of items in the warehouse is random. No assumption is made which items are most likely to occur in a single shopping cart together. Signals are relayed to the packer immediately, and he or she has to move through the warehouse in what appears to her as a random walk. To the machine, of course, it's not random at all, but optimized according to criteria set by the management, which can range from efficiency in packing to punishing all unruly workers by sending them to the most physically demanding tasks. For now, some function of this random access machine are still implemented in computers. They are still implemented in people. But they are already defined in a way that humans are a mere stand-in, meat machines, for the actual robots to come. While conventional cybernetic systems cannot deal with true randomness, post-cybernetic systems can. Consequently, those who run these systems have an interest in introducing more randomness into the world because it gives them a competitive advantage. So the social turbulencing we are witnessing are part of a new strategy of domination, which randomness serves as a weapon of choice against the established systems of probability-based order. However, randomness is deeply antisocial. It destroys meaning and shared rhythms, that is, the ability to make sense of the world and act within it, individually and collectively. In people, randomness leads to fear and confusion, and it generates a political desire for a strong man who can stand above it all, providing a single point of orientation. Thus, it is an urgent task to find ways to contain this new contingency springing from the abundance of computer power. I don't think we can move back to the old cybernetic order, not the least because the emerging of randomness as an organizing principle is itself a consequence of the ever-increasing power of cybernetic systems, which are now so powerful that they undermine their own foundations. But perhaps the breaking apart of the paradigm is a good thing, because we can now revisit the other two fundamental ideas. There is no turning back, however, from the first idea, that we are living within heterogeneous man-machine biological systems. On a societal level, we'll never separate the man from the machine anymore, and the idea of nature as something that is simply out there is also no longer feasible. Rather, it is the second key innovation of cybernetics, the definition of information as nothing but mere signals, that needs to be revised urgently. This understanding privileges the way computers handle information over all other ways, rethinking information in both its computable and non-computable forms would enable us to come to a real appreciation of the particular but very narrow power and the clear limits of computational sensing, processing, and signaling. It would also help to reevaluate other ways of reading, understanding, and acting in the world, ways that are typical for people or animals or plants that they cannot be implemented in computers. Fortunately, this is also a project that can and must be closely aligned to those that are developing ways of addressing global heating and the destruction of the environment conducive to human culture. My proposal then is to think these two issues, the crisis of the social and the crisis of the climate, together. The challenge is how to preserve the key insight of cybernetics that we are living inside complex, materially heterogeneous systems, yet take this heterogeneity much more seriously. Rather than flattening it through the technical definition of information, we need to expand it and preserve the difference of human machines and animals and plants as interdependent but not fully substitutable. Otherwise, as computers become ever more powerful, their ability to handle randomness and thus impose it on the social will tear democracies apart and enable dictators to surf the volatility curve into the global meltdown.